Money FM 89.3, the best of the breakfast huddle. The bigger picture, only on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, Singapore's most influential radio station. It is The Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker and Ryan Huang right now. It's time for The Bigger Picture. And Ryan, when we look at The Bigger Picture as we approach the end of the year, a lot of market reaction has led to people talking about, and analysts talking about, fears of recession, especially in the year 2023. We've already had reports of how economies like the UK are set for at least 2 years of contraction. So looking at the fallout of this potential, what are some of the findings? What are some of the observations that you've put front and center?
Yeah, you have that growing chorus of recession risk warnings coming through. And the latest comes from the Center for Economics and Business Research. And they say the world faces a recession next year as we see higher borrowing costs, which of course is being aimed at tackling inflation, causing a number of economies to contract. And if you look at where the economy, the global economy is right now, it surpassed $100 trillion for the first time this year, but they say it will stall next year as policymakers continue their fight against soaring prices. So with China's reopening picking up traction, that's going to be an interesting point to look out for in 2023 to see how much that could alleviate those pressures. Let's unpack it with Heng Kun Hao. He is the head of markets strategy for UOB. Morning, Kun Hao.
Morning, Ryan, and morning, Elliot.
Hey, Kun Hao. Hope you had a good break over Christmas. Now, let's talk about what's playing out in the economy. And we've got these fears of a recession next year. How serious are they for you right now?
So, obviously, the odds of recession across the world or growth slowdown has increased. That's the harsh truth. But this is not a very typical economic cycle, and we need to be very specific. So what's happening now is we are in a late stage rate hiking cycle from the US, and what happens is rates have went up dramatically over the past year. And at this late stage, we're on a careful watch out for what you call credit risk across various economies. Basically, in plain terms, you know, some parts of the economy, some sectors may have credit issues, may start to default, and that will cause growth slowdown. Now, having said that, this cycle is different because a lot of the job markets in different economies, particularly in the US and Singapore, are very strong and are not showing signs of recession. That's the interesting bit. That's the positive bit. So a lot of the regulators, the central bankers, are still, you know, positive in terms of a growth slowdown in terms of a soft landing, particularly in the US. Not your typical hard landing, people losing job kind of recession. So it remains to be seen outside of US and UK, where clearly you have an energy crunch where recession is imminent, but the rest of the world, not there yet, not so pessimistic.
Yeah, if you look at what's playing out in the US, you've got the inflation numbers in focus, and the PCE, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Index, last Friday came in at 4.7%. That is a step down from the 5% gain in October. How much should we be reading into these inflation numbers? Is it indeed cooling off enough for the Fed to pivot?
Okay, so headline inflation numbers are definitely lower because commodity prices have cooled down and some of the commodity supplies have resumed. But the truth is the underlying core inflation, and we keep going back to job markets. Job markets are strong, wage-led inflation is still reasonably strong, and there's no clear signs that this are coming down fast enough. Now, for the Fed, we still have at least 75 basis points of rate hikes all the way up to above 5%, 5.25% to come. So yes, they have, you know, in inverted commas, pivoted from 75 basis point hike to 50 basis point hikes, but the rate hiking cycle is not over yet. We still have quite a bit more to go. So I won't, you know, celebrate at this stage.
Yeah, it's still going up, but in smaller increments. And of course, the question mark is how many more of these small increments we'll see. And if you look at what's also playing out that might affect the Fed's thinking is the global economy. And of course, China is a big part of it. We've gotten a lot of traction with the reopening story. How much will that help with, you know, avoiding that global recession risk next year?
Yes. So the thing is this, all of us are, you know, pinning a lot of hopes on a successful China reopening. Now, if they can, how should I say, pivot away and live with COVID, you know, without too much disruption, that is good for China's economy. That is good for the rest of the world. And we saw the news last night that, you know, the Chinese authorities are now saying that arrivals do not need to be quarantined anymore from the 8th of January. That's wonderful news. Mm. Now, the problem here is the last few months of this year, the fourth quarter this year, and the first quarter next year, is a big unknown and will have significant growth slowdown because China is just reopening and still trying to come to grips with the jump in COVID numbers. And this is that big uncertainty. Outside of this slowdown in retail sales, in spending activity in this few months, we expect growth to recover reasonably strongly in, you know, the second half of next year. But the key question is a lot of uncertainty in this recent month we got to get past first.
Mm, and if you look at the Chinese yuan, that actually has strengthened a bit in recent weeks. It was at around 7.3 plus in the months of November and is now at 6.97. So can we say that the worst is over for the renminbi?
This is the tough part. The Chinese renminbi yuan has strengthened on expectation of Chinese economic reopening, but the harsh reality is the economic numbers, the actual macro numbers, are not improving at all. The rate differentials are not improving at all for the renminbi. So I would say that, you know, your risk is that our forecast is that we are still going to see progressive yuan weakness across 23, and the Chinese economy needs a weaker renminbi to help stabilize the growth recovery. So the risk of a return to 7.30 is still possible, and we still see renminbi weakening against the Singapore dollar around the 5.20 levels at current levels.
Okay, talk about currencies. The Japanese yen is in focus because last year it was pretty much one of the worst in Asia, and next year it could be a different story. It could be one of the best. So what do you expect in terms of upside for the Japanese yen?
Well, this is extreme example of how interest rate differentials can cause volatility. Now, we all know that the Japanese, you know, yen has strengthened over the past few weeks because the BOJ has adjusted yield curve control. What it did is it has raised 10-year yield cap from 25 basis points to 50. Not a lot, but the problem here is this. It's difficult for Japan to hold interest rates still near zero at 50 basis points when the rest of the world is up there at 5 or 4% and Europe is no longer negative rates. So you expect that rate differential to narrow, to close, BOJ to be constantly challenged by financial markets. And as a result, the yen will be volatile and may still continue to strengthen. Now, having said that, to be honest, our forecast for the second half of 23 is around the 130s and we're almost there, right? 133, 132. So we'll need to review it, but that direction is there in terms of yen strength. And to investors out there, if you ever have interest rate risk borrowings in Japan, you need to hedge that. Because at 50 basis points for 10 years in the benchmark JGBs, it's still, you know, very, very low compared to the rest of the world. And that cannot hold.
And talk about hedging. How much should we be exposing ourselves to gold next year? If you look at where we are for prices, this year actually hit a record high of over $2,000. And right now it's at $1,008, pretty much where it started at the beginning of this year.
Yes. So gold has been pushed back down, as you say, from 2 to 1.8 handle because the sharp rise in interest rates this year. Having said that, you know, that interest rate so-called blockage, that difficulty has got lesser and lesser as the Fed starts to reach the tail end of its rate hiking cycle. And more importantly, we're seeing a lot of central banks coming in, emerging market central banks, to buy gold. And we're seeing a lot of the countries with large populations showing a return of physical gold buying. Think of this. If you are in those countries where currencies depreciated by 10, 20% this year, you as a retail investor will want to buy gold because this is very important hedge against your currency depreciation. And we're seeing that. So our view is gold should recover back to 1,009, you know, towards the first half of next year and 2,000 in the second half of next year. So this is one asset classes where we have strong confidence, you know, despite all the volatility, uncertainty about FX and interest rates, where we think we'll do well next year. So gold is on track to return to 2,000 second half of next year.
All right, what'll be one to watch out for next year for gold prices alongside the other asset classes we've been chatting about? We'll be talking to Heng Khun Hao. He is the head of market strategy for UOB. Khun Hao, thanks for your time, and we'll catch up again with you next year.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.